I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we're going to talk about what you think on Back Talk. But first, it's time for our weekly visit with the guys at the barbershop. They give us their take on what's in the news, what people are talking about, what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are opinion writer and blogger Jimmy Israel, sports writer Terrence Harris, blogger and writer Michael David Cobb Bowen, and syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete. I hear they want to talk about the N-word. The NAACP staged a mock burial. I think some of them think it's time to bury the NAACP. Baseball's All-Star Game, they're on the Barry Bonds Watch 2, and the Bush administration's tough week. I may jump in, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, welcome to the shop, everybody. What's up?
How you living, baby?
Good,
doing
good,
man. How's it going?
Chilling.
Okay, fellas, let's jump right off the stoop talking about Bush having the worst week ever. Now, Bush had a press conference Thursday trying to drum up support for the war effort. He's calling for executive privilege over here. And, oh, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez is possibly lying to Congress about FBI abuses back in the day. Now, Ruben, let's start with you. There's no workable exit plan in sight. How will this report affect his policies going forward?
Well, I'll tell you now, the president's pretty much made it clear that he thinks that we need to hold tight in Iraq, wait until September when General Petraeus comes back with the verdict on exactly how well this surge has worked in Iraq. And I don't think he cares a bit about either public opinion or what Congress is saying or how unpopular his policies are becoming. And on one level, I got to respect that because there is only one commander in chief. And if Democrats don't like it, they ought to try doing something radical like, oh, winning presidential elections for a change. And if they do that and they sit in that chair, then they'll get a chance to make the call. But just because public opinion is where it is, I just saw a poll that something like 70% of Americans now favor a pullout. And just because Congress is sort of saber-rattling doesn't mean that the president can take his eye off the ball. He has, for better or for worse, put us on this course, and only another president can take us off course.
Isn't he? He's
is that Terry Harris? Go ahead.
Yes, it is. He's hurting his party. I mean, nobody's going to vote for a Republican next election. Sure, he's done. So he can make any decision, but he's really hurting the Republican Party.
Akobsky, I know you heard that. That's your president. Step up, bro.
Well, you know, I like Fred. I'm starting to like Fred Thompson more and more. I'm astounded to hear myself say this. But, you know, the president has made all the changes at the top, except for Cheney, in terms of the military chain of command. And nobody's really given him a chance to make that work. And Petraeus was the man that everybody agreed had learned all the lessons that we failed to know going into Iraq. And now he's actually making progress. So it's kind of bad that it's at this point where we're actually doing something and we have some of the radicals coming over to our side to fight al-Qaeda. But these things take time.
Kobsky, wait a second, yo. You're not going to get away that easy. How do you define progress? Do you see something I don't see?
Yeah, I just read a story from Michael Yon from about a guy named Abu Ali, who was the head of a revolutionary group called the 1920s. And the 1920s was one of the most effective militias in Iraq, and they were shooting at Americans not long ago. But when they started hearing stories about what al-Qaeda was doing in the villages, they turned, and they joined the counterinsurgency of the surge, and now they are on our side. And they're really saying, you know, al-Qaeda's not Muslim, and we have to get rid of them.
Well, Cosby, man, go ahead, Ruben.
Jimmy, it's
right
like
quick.
This. It's like this. I don't feel comfortable defending either Bush or the war or the surge for that matter. But what exactly is Plan B? Democrats don't have a Plan B. You know, I think the major concern Americans have is not even the fear of more casualties down way. The major fear we have is pulling out and then having to go back at some future date. Nobody wants that. I mean, nobody wants to go back.
Listen, I know we only got 18 more months left, but we need impeachment or we need a plan. And it's as simple as that. Let's move on, looking at the NAACP meeting in Detroit on Sunday, spouting 100-year-old platitudes and bemoaning the lack of young membership, which seems like a sign of irrelevancy to me. Now, a good example of how detached they are was the funeral they held for the N-word. Now, Terry, did all that grandstanding make you want to run out and join the NAACP?
No, not at all, man. It just, to me, I felt sorry for him because I'm like, if we're not talking about that, we're not talking about that convention. And most of this country doesn't even know that that convention took place.
Kobsky, I didn't hear any issues discussed. What about you?
If NAACP is one of our greatest organizations, like two steps behind Motown. And
Come on now.
Well, you know, I have to NAACP credit for the good things they do. So I'm going to say I'm glad the NAACP got about $2 million of relief for Katrina. And that's some good work that they've done. We'd like to see maybe some follow-up and see how well that's worked. But this N-word funeral, that's straight out grandstanding.
Ruben, what do you think?
Yo, I think we have parallels in the Latino community with groups like the National Council of La Raza. These groups are NAACP included. They're about fundraising. They're about having these conventions every year, going out and getting a lot of corporate money from folks, from big corporations who want to, you know, get into your community, my community, our communities together. And I think in both cases, these groups have fallen out of step because there's a lot of stuff happening at the grassroots level that they're just not tapped into. And I'll give you one quick example. You know, you have all these black ministers and pastors out there who wanted some sort of faith-based community initiative where you could get government dollars going to faith-based organizations, some of them headed up by African Americans, right?
Right.
And this was opposed by the Democratic Party and by the NAACP. And a lot of African Americans scratched their head and said, what exactly is the problem? You know, we don't think, we don't wake up in the morning and say that there's too much Jesus in our life, there's too many people going to church, there's too much faith in our lives. And so in that case, the NAACP went one way, and the masses and the flock went the other way.
Well, listen, here's me. The whole thing about bearing the N-word is ridiculous because you cannot dictate what people are going to say. And, you know, some words aren't for everybody. And as far as I'm concerned, the NAA looked too much like a country club talented 10th kind of set for my liking because they always put out the smallest fires for the biggest media effect. And I don't trust that kind of activism.
Hey, can I just bust in for a second, guys? Hi, guys.
Absolutely, Michelle.
Hi, thank you, Jimmy. I'm Michelle Martin. You're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking to Jimmy Israel, Ruben Navarrete, Michael David Cobb Bowen, and Terrence Harris for today's Barbershop. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thank you, Michelle. Is that Terry?
It's Terry. But you know,
go ahead, Terry.
Let's think about this too. I mean, you know, when we get down on NAACP and all these other organizations, our problems aren't as simple and as in a box as they maybe were in the 1950s, 1960s. I mean, we're not just trying to get voting rights anymore. We're not trying to sit on the front of the bus. We have some much more pressing issues, and our issues are much more broader. And no one organization can meet every issue that we have. And if we think that, or if that's what we're expecting, then we are going to be disappointed. We have to get out of that mindset. The same way we got to get away from this whole mindset of a black leader. There's no such thing anymore. I mean, that's a bad idea.
The
it doesn't work for us.
Okay, I hear you. Let's switch gears for a minute. Let's talk sports, Terry. Apparently, the American League is dominating the All-Star game, but nobody cares. I mean, the Associated Press is reporting that ratings are down 10% from last year and the second lowest since 1967. Now, Terry, here's me. I think all the belly aching about the war has become the new American pastime. What do you say about that? Do you think that accounts for the decline in the interest in baseball?
Well, I think what the problem is right now is this big issue with steroids. And I mean, you know, it's that pink elephant in the room that Major League Baseball really hasn't wanted to acknowledge and deal with. And I think people are getting a little tired of that. I think people wanted to tune away because of Barry Bonds. I mean, there's a lot of resentment in this country, whether right or wrong, towards what, you know, this home run record he's chasing and he's about to get, and whether he did it properly or not. But the fact of the matter is, there's been no proof. But in Americans' minds, they've already made this guy guilty without any type of trial, and I think that's wrong.
Kobsky, how do you think the whole Bond issue figures into the apparent general apathy the public has about baseball?
I think you know, baseball is in a lull right now. I mean, I'm watching the ESPN Classic with Reggie Jackson, Billy Martin, George Steinbrenner. Those are the good old days. And I think we have to say of baseball that it's like in the Mike Tyson era, and there's no Muhammad Ali's around. So we just have to hope that sooner or later down the line we'll get some better champions, and the sport will come back around.
Can I say something?
Sure, Michelle, go ahead.
Yeah. I just don't understand why more people don't pay attention to baseball. Maybe it is the Barry Bonds effect, but, I mean, more Americans live in the suburbs than ever before. They have more access to green space. I mean, it's not like everybody's living in a city where you got to play with, you know, a broomstick and a pinky ball in the street, right? So I guess I just don't understand it. I think there are great players coming in. The sport is becoming more international. I just don't understand it.
Hold on, man. Let me speak to that right quick. Michelle, what I see is an American culture where kids are really kind of engrossed, where they used to be back in the day kind of engrossed in street sports like baseball and like football. America isn't producing the kind of baseball players that they used to because it's not as much of the American pastime as it used to be. Now the Xbox is the American pastime. Now Nickelodeon is the American pastime. So there's nothing to encourage kids to get out in the street and play.
A part of the problem, too,
Jimmy,
is the fact that baseball is investing more in the Latin countries That's where they're getting their talent from, and they're mm-hmm. spending more money, right. and more of their revenue is going down there, and it's not up here anymore. So you're not seeing as many young Americans, and especially African Americans, are mm-hmm. not playing baseball anymore.
Yeah, but the internationalization of a sport doesn't necessarily mean that Americans lose interest. I mean, look at how Americans get jazzed about some of the international players playing in the NBA, like, you know, Yao Ming, and people get, you know, they kind of get excited. It's kind of interesting, you know, to see how they
But Americans still get more excited about their people.
Okay, okay. Ruben, bring it home for us, please.
It's a generational thing. I mean, Michelle's right in the sense that maybe 20 years ago, baseball was at a different place, but right mm-hmm. now, the juice is around basketball. Even Tiger Woods has done a lot to revitalize golf. I mean, this stuff goes in cycles. And if you were a baseball commissioner, you would have to take this stuff really seriously. And right. you have to say to yourself that around the country, baseball doesn't have the respect and esteem and interest that it should and that it did a couple generations ago. That needs to change.
Okay, y'all. It's that time. You know, we rounded third and heading home. Kopski, I want to thank you for showing up. My man, you're that dude. You'll be back.
Always glad to be here.
T. Harris, hometown, S-Town represents. My man, thank you so much.
S-Town, baby.
The R, Ruben Navarette, my man, thank you again. We'll see you.
James, thanks, brother.
And I'm that dude, Jimmy Israel. Got to kick it over to that girl, Michelle Martin.
I love how basically y'all just call me old and old school, right? I mean, that's just cold. You're like, it's a generational thing. Ruben, that's nice. But basically you're saying, you just old, baby. All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks. I'll remember that. Jimmy Israel joined us from WUKY in Lexington, Kentucky. He writes for the opinion page of the Lexington Herald Leader. Ruben Navarrete joined us from KPBS in San Diego, California. He writes for the San Diego Union Tribune and CNN.com. Michael David Cobb Bowen joined us from Fort Worth, Texas. He's a blogger and founder of the Conservative Brotherhood. And Terrence Harris is a sports writer for the Houston Chronicle. He joined us from KUHF in Houston, Texas. You can find links to all of our barbershop guests at our website, npr.org/tellmemore. Gentlemen, thanks for coming into the barbershop today.
Thank you.
Michelle.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you, Michelle. Yep, yep.